This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael.
Now, we had this kind of debate, not really a debate, last year, but when Steve Smiley and his UNC Bears won a share of the Big Sky Conference regular season championship, there was a lot of talk of, well, Steve Smiley, is he gonna get other opportunities elsewhere? Well, now they're 7-1 with just about four games left in the non-con schedule. And we'll see what happens when they get into conference play. And then ultimately, it all matters for the Big Sky. If you win the tournament, you go on to March Madness. Buy or sell, Mike? You bet Steve Smiley. Is he long for the UNC Bears basketball job?
I think his kids graduate in a couple of years. And
oh, Madden graduates.
Once his kids have graduated, might be skedaddle out of Greeley.
His son is a senior who just committed to Wyoming.
I think his daughter's a sophomore.
I thought she might be a junior.
I'm going to go with what I said because I want to be right.
Okay. Either way. Here's the thing. She's committed to UNC. I think she's a junior. I think so. Because it's too early to commit. She's going to go to UNC to play volleyball, Michael. Madden's going to go to Wyoming. Steve Smiley is very much about family and being able to watch his kids play. If he goes anywhere outside of the state of Colorado... Thank you, Bruce. Bruce Dick, host of Coach Speak. Junior, bam, roasted, Mike. Wrong again. Brady, 577,000. Micah, -8. Got another one. Smiley's got the chops to go anywhere. I think he's that good of a coach. But with both of his kids committing to local-ish teams, I don't know. I just don't know. Times are changing, too. I think there's a lot of coaches now that look at the landscape and go, do I want to go to a big job and then get fired and... It's not as easy as just go back to where you came from. Go back to UNC. Well, they might have a coach at that time, and it's odd. It's awkward to do that. It's tough to do it. Happens, just not very often. I think more coaches are... Do you think more... Buy or sell this. More coaches are looking at that situation. Yes, it's more money. And if it's like a crazy amount, you just take it, because you do an Ed Orgeron, and you just get paid $17 million, and he says, hey, where's the door? I'll get my stuff. I'm out. But if we're talking like Smiley gets a job at a Mount West level, who should probably be next, does he take it? Does he sacrifice the chance to watch his kids play Division I sports? I don't know.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either.
His family's very tight-knit.
Well,
what I hear.
And they're all in the area. You know, Wyoming and Denver and here. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's had conversations with other teams. I wouldn't be shocked. He's never revealed that to me, but I just wouldn't be shocked by it. Let's see. My other one, Michael. Will the Avs buy or sell this? The win record in a season is held by the Boston Bruins. They had 65 wins in the 22-23 season. Detroit had 62 wins, 95-96. Tampa Bay had 62 wins as well in 2018-19. Buy or sell, the Avalanche break that record. The Avalanche get to 66 wins. Mike, they're 19-1-8 right now. Are they that good, or are they peaking early? they just keep winning. They play again. They play the Islanders today at 5 o'clock.
Beat them.
Go get to 20. Can they get to 65? Do you buy that or sell that?
I buy it.
What?
Barring not having a lot of injuries like they did the first part of last year.
Well, and it...
But they are deep. They're very deep.
Yeah. It's a... And they're just... I mean, they have outstanding goalie play, man. I mean, and you have a lot of guys that are... Brock Nelson. Brock Nelson's been on fire. You know, he's had, what, 6 goals and I think 6 assists over just like his last 10 games. The Avalanche the injury list report just came out on the Avs, Mike, and it's clean. Clean bill of health for the Avs right now. And that was a bit of a concern because you know, looking at what happened with Scott Wedgwood. So
you remember when the goalie position was such a weak spot and hockey fans were like, well, you know, there are going to be a lot of shots on goal. So, yeah, a lot of these guys are going to – goalie's not a weak spot anymore.
No.
These woods are good.
Yeah, these woods are good. I mean, Wedgwood is leading, isn't he, in wins right now? And then you have a formidable backup in Blackwood. You gave him 2 nights off. You gave Wedgwood 2 nights off after he went out against, wasn't it Minnesota? Or no, it was against Montreal. And no, I'm wrong. That was Tuesday. This week is flying by. That was Tuesday. But according to the injury report, he's good to go. So remember when they won the Stanley Cup, the concern was, you know, goalie play is just not elite, but they score a lot. Now this team scores a lot. And they have an elite type of goalie right now. And honestly, an elite backup goalie. Aaron says, we want the Stanley Cup, not the President's Trophy. Well, what, can you get both? I mean, this team doesn't look like... I mean, dude, this is an amazing start. I mean, they show no signs of slowing down. Yeah, I fully expect them to go on and just and dominate tonight. I mean... The closest teams to them, I mean, Dallas is 18 wins, 5 losses, and they've had 5 overtimes. Yes, Michael.
Mackenzie Blackwood's save percentage is 93%, and Scott Wedgwood's is 92%.
It's phenomenal, man. And plus, they score a lot. All right, buy or sell this, Mike. You were just talking about it yesterday. Is Nathan MacKinnon, I'm not talking about Avalanche Mount Rushmore. Is Nathan MacKinnon a clear top 4 player in the state of Colorado between all sports?
You know me.
You're going to say...
You got to wait longer.
I mean, he's the best player in hockey right now.
He is, but...
And he's been the best player in hockey now for a while.
With Von Miller, I've always been like, hey, let's not put him on the Mount Rushmore just yet. Like I feel like you got to wait until the guy retires before you, you retire his jersey and
well,
put
yeah,
him up on
they're not
going
to retire his jersey, but if he's already is Nathan MacKinnon better than Joe Sakic?
Yeah, I think so.
Then you're going to put him in your top 4 because, I mean, I don't know who your top 4 is. Mine's John Elway was John Elway, Joe Sakic, Nikola Jokic, toss up between. Patrick Waugh. Terrell Davis or Shannon Sharp. I've also said Floyd Little, but I always go with stats and Hall of Fame stuff. That's hard. Who's your top 4? You have a top 4?
I mean, I go back and forth, and there's also the... Like, Terrell Davis didn't play long enough.
No, but what he did in that time was elite every year, save for the year he got hurt.
Yeah. The couple years he got hurt.
Well, yeah. But for the most part, it was like, what, a six-year run for TD?
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal.
He was phenomenal.
Shannon Sharp might make the case.
He didn't play a long enough career. I mean, I don't know how long Jim Brown played, but I felt like his career was rather short, and he's such a huge, like, respected Hall of Famer, deservedly. I don't know. Like, I want to put Floyd Little up there, but that's more of an emotional thing.
Mine's an emotional thing, too, because he saved a franchise. He showed the ownership at the time that you could build a real team here in Denver. Floyd Little will forever be the guy that put the Broncos on the map, that might have saved them from selling or moving the team.
First round draft pick to sign with the team.
Yeah, plus he was so good, that was their first real superstar. And I think the fan buy-in to Floyd Little was like, okay, fans are getting excited about this dude. If we can get players like that, we can do great things. Shannon Sharpe's up there. Also, you know, honestly, part of his resume is what he did without the Broncos, because he went and won a Super Bowl and put together big numbers with the Ravens. He had good numbers with the Ravens when he went over and played tight end for 2 years. Then he came back, finished his career. My original thought, like I always said, it was John Elway, Joe Sakic, Patrick Waugh, and Shannon Sharpe. That was the original group. Who does Joker replace? To me, Joker replaces Shannon Sharpe. So does Nathan MacKinnon replace Patrick Waugh? Or does he replace Joe Sakic, who you just said is better?
Yeah. It's a tough call. I think he replaces Jokic.
No.
Sorry, I just wanted to see your reaction.
I mean, three MVPs and a championship. I mean, we're talking stats and awards and accolades. MacKinnon now has the one MVP and the one championship, but he's also some of the players. Joker honestly got robbed, one at least, when Joel Embiid got it. He should have four. Argument can be made he should have five MVPs at this point. I think it's two of the dogs playing right now. I don't know if I'm knocking Patrick Waugh or Joe Sakic off. I'm not sure. But Nathan MacKinnon is definitely on that list. I think he has to be there. John Elway is there. Although you would disagree with me on this, but I think Joker is already greater than John Elway. Doesn't have the second championship, but if that happens, if Joker gets another title and MacKinnon gets another title, then for sure they're right there with John Elway. Then it's just the debate of which other great are you putting up there.
So titles count as
kind of
as
part of it.
See, I don't buy that. I think titles are great for the story, but there are some quarterbacks who are just excellent. Like, Joe Montana got the four titles, and that helps with his legacy.
Yeah.
But if he didn't have those titles, his legacy would still be Joe Montana, this excellent quarterback. Dan Marino didn't get a title. You ever watch him lace the ball accurately 60 yards down the field?
Yeah, but there was a regime that ran the Broncos that drafted Tommy Maddox with the idea that John Elway wasn't going to be their franchise quarterback for a while. That's never happened with Nathan MacKinnon or John Elway. Nathan MacKinnon or Nikola Jokic. Elway did have a bump in the road during his time with the Broncos. Am I wrong? There was a stretch, maybe not long, but there was a stretch where, how long is this going to happen? And of course, he and Dan Reeves didn't see eye to eye and all that stuff, but there was a time where it wasn't obvious that John Elway was the franchise. Am I wrong?
Maybe I would say once a better coach came in and helped John Elway. Like, John Elway never had the tools around him. You ask a lot of legends, he didn't have a lot. What did the other, like the three Migos, do when they left the Broncos?
Yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah. But what did Shannon Sharpe do when he left the Broncos?
Yeah, he did a lot because he was a tool.
Elway in his last three or
four... I don't
four,
mean to call you a tool, Shannon, sorry.
Elway in his last 3 or 4 years had a Hall of Fame group around him. He had offensive line around him. He had great defensive players around him, you know, making stops. He had a great tight end. He had pretty solid wide receivers, Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Shannon Sharpe. Nathan MacKinnon's had some good players around him, too. Joker's had some, well, Nathan MacKinnon's has had at least one elite player with Cale Makar around him. Mecco was pretty elite. But I'm willing to say Nathan MacKinnon and Joker, even though they're not retired yet, are on that Mount Rushmore.
Well, the one thing that you can say, okay, we're both fans. We're not as big of hockey fans as a lot of other people are.
No, it's probably my weaker point.
But watch what the legends say about them. Watch what sports analysts who specifically are on TV say about him. If they say this guy's going
and they
to
all
be
say
great.
It. They all say Nathan MacKinnon is like the best player in hockey.
Yeah. Even better than Connor McDavid.
Yes.
And that guy's popular.
And he's legit. Like he's one of the greats. Maybe the greatest.
Yeah, and there's one player I can't remember who just broke the great one's record for goals, which nobody thought that would happen. But I think MacKinnon might break that record again.
MacKinnon's leading the NHL in goals. It's a treat to have these two guys leading these teams right now. It is a treat. And now you have the Broncos successful. Who do you think on the Broncos roster right now will be 10 years from now? Hopefully, if the whole show's still going, we're talking about them being on a Mount Rushmore. Or even just a Mount Rushmore of the Broncos. Is that Patrick Surtain?
Pat Surtain and maybe just Pat Surtain, because right now I'm seeing a lot of team. This is a very team-oriented team. Like every time you're like, oh, Benito's going to break the sack record, he doesn't get a sack for a number of games. Why? It's because he's making sure Patrick Mahomes doesn't roll out.
Right.
He's staying in his position and making sure that
it's easier.
A couple times against Mariota.
Mariota.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's how he pronounced it.
Apparently he does pronounce it like that.
Yeah, he really stuck the landing on the T there.
Yeah, they asked him about that, and he said Mariota.
I'm Marcus Mariota.
I always said Marcus Mariota, kind of with a D sound there, but Chris Collinsworth told us all we were wrong, and then he stressed the T with Benito, too. Benito.
Well, when he was saying Marcus Mariota, he put a little extra T in there.
Yeah, but I heard Marcus Mariota say his name to a reporter yesterday, and he backed up what Chris Collinsworth was doing. I don't know if the same is said for Nick.
T. I always thought it was Mariota.
I did, too. I just said that. He said, Chris, Brady, do you think maybe all the head coaches from UNC meet and debate, will Brady or Michael move on? What? Both have high credentials to jump to the big leagues with their knowledge and respect. Well, one of those has that.
No, don't be so hard on yourself, Brady. You are very...
I set you up for that.
I don't want to lie.
No, yeah, you're really good at what you do. Really good. 23 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Thursday night special. I'm told this is going to be a riot of an intro. Last week, I'm still laughing from last week. The turkey gobble situation, still has me laughing about it. It was so good. Apparently, this is better. I have no idea what to expect. Brian Gary, just leading us into greatness. Now I have to deliver. We got to get back to 500 tonight. Lions, Cowboys. Where are we going? Cowboys have kind of looked kind of good. It's a playoff-type game tonight. It's a good game tonight. I'm ready for it. Thursday Night Special coming up next.
Games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Brady Hull is on the way. Brady Hull is on the way. On their home field against the Cowboys, the Lions play tonight. Dak to CD or Goff to Jahmyr, the Lions play tonight.
Hey, hey. Brady, 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 Brady,
was the high pitch that was that Derbs in the background there? That was
that might have been a karaoke. I don't know.
That was good. That was good, Brian. Just my name a lot. Just said my name a lot. I like that. That's all good. Faith. Every week I say it can't get better, and then it does. It. I mean, it's just like one of the texters says. You know, Faith Hill doesn't do a new song every Sunday night. Faith Hill. What's her name?
Not Faith.
Carrie Underwood. Carrie Underwood. Okay. Well done again. I have to collect myself after that. Mr. Thursday Night is ready to get back to a 500 record, Michael. And tonight, this is a big one. This is all about the playoffs now between the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions. Both teams are on the outside looking in. Both teams lose. Whoever loses this game tonight, dude, that severely impacts their chances of getting in. The Lions are 7-5. They're currently in eighth. Now, the Cowboys are 6-5. They just came off of a very big win against Kansas City last week. Now, I'm not sure how it's tough because okay, sorry. Eastside Chris says smash, loved the backup ladies. Was that Tanner and Derbs? I honestly, it was so good I didn't know it was Tanner and Derbs. Tanner just texted and said, "Why do we get no credit?" Okay, here's the ultimate credit. It was so good I thought it was actually the real thing. That's how good it was. So take that for what it's worth. It was brilliant. Great work, gentlemen, by everyone. The Thursday Night Special team. We actually, it's gotten so big, we have hired a crew now. We have a full-on production for this thing. Whew. Pick time. Lions are a 3.5-point favorite. Man, my gut was like, the Cowboys are going to win this thing. Right? Then I kind of backed off of it. I'm like, wait, I think the Lions are better than what that record shows right now. They're going to figure it out. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a monster tonight. And I like Dak Prescott, but something's going to slow him down. The Lions have played 56 regular season games over 3+ years now without losing 2 in a row. If the Lions win on Thursday night, the streak without consecutive setbacks will be the league's longest since New England's 57-game run that ended in 2006. It's a game that goes, I mean, both these teams, you know, split wins the last couple of years. This is a really tough one. Could be a shootout tonight. Could be a shootout tonight. Michael, here's where I'm going. Lions -3.5.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
Montgomery and the Wildcat getting the snap. He gets it. Looking to run. Right side. Montgomery rocks in. Touchdown, Detroit. They stay in it. Here's a fake. God. Can't find anyone else. Throw. Did it come for a touchdown? Isaac Tesla, the rookie.
Better alive. You are coming with me.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
Stay out of trouble.
Let's take it, Williams. He breaks a tackle. Jamison Williams! How did he do that? Touchdown, Lions!
St. Brown in motion. Goff for St. Brown. He is there, and he's got it. Touchdown, Detroit. What a throw and catch.
Thank you for your cooperation. Good night.
Now, the Lions, it's a scary one because you got a lot of injuries you're dealing with, but I'm rolling the dice here. St. Brown questionable for tonight. Game time decision. got a few issues with your tight end and your a couple wide receivers out outside of St. Brown. So, listen, it's risky. But I believe in that running back combo, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Listen, I hope Javonte Williams, for my fantasy football sake, goes off tonight. But I do like the Lions winning. I think it's going to be a shootout tonight. I do. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. But give me the Detroit Lions minus 3.5. 35 minutes after the hour. Let's get Kevin Lytle on the show from the Colorado. Let's talk some Colorado State coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Thirty-nine minutes after the hour. Kevin, you know me. I don't like to get too excited or blow anything out of proportion or anything.
Always even keel.
Carter Emanuel might be the best quarterback to ever come through Colorado State.
Well, what's strange is based on social media, both Darnell Kelly and Carter Emanuel are going to be superstars at CSU, even though they're both quarterbacks in the same class.
Well, I'm just going to say, I don't know if it's algorithms or what, but after the Jim Mora announcement,
you get a lot of UConn.
Well, I was getting a ton of UConn stuff. Yeah. And then suddenly, I just randomly see Carter Emanuel's page pop up when he decommitted to UConn.
Yeah.
And so I clicked on the 24/7 stuff that he put out. I'm just watching all the highlights because naturally he's literally never had a bad play,
yep,
according to those highlights. And guy can move.
Yeah.
He can move.
No, he's an exciting prospect. And he, I believe his dad was in the NFL. He plays big class Florida. I believe he's 5A in Florida, which I think they go all the way to 7A, but obviously, oh, wow, Florida's a giant state. So pretty high class. They made the quarters this year. I think they're semis last year. His numbers are really good. Yeah, obviously highlight packages look really good. He had power 4 interest. I mean, he's definitely a legitimate, you know, pretty high level quarterback prospect, no doubt about it. And, you know, not that every kid that comes out of Florida is amazing, but Florida does tend to produce some talented players, so not a bad place to find a quarterback.
You noted in your article, a great job, you break it all down of the 2026 class of signees, but you mentioned in this story that he had some Power 4 offers as well.
Yep. So he was at a Clemson camp, I believe it was last summer. He also suffered an injury his sophomore year. I think he didn't play as a sophomore because of that injury. So that can kind of slow your recruitment. Sophomore, junior years are pretty big for your recruitment. Honestly, senior year, it can hurt you, but I don't want to say it can't help you, but sophomore, junior are actually usually the biggest years. So missing that sophomore year is big. But yeah, he had some P4 interest. It's kind of cool. One of our sister papers in Florida had Carter write a first person, you know, here's kind of my journey and why I'm committing. And obviously it's an interesting thing. And I thought it was very open, honest. He said, you know, frankly, the coaching change really kind of, it was a turbulent time for him. You know, he had committed to UConn June. So he's been thinking for 6 months that he's going to UConn. Then Mora leaves. It's right during his playoffs, you know, in Florida. So he's kind of trying to worry about the playoffs, but also trying to, you know, worry about where he's going to go to school. He said it's been difficult, but ultimately, Jim Mora is both a human that he wants to play for and a football coach that he wants to play for. And that's why he's basically following Mora and signing with CSU. So I thought that was kind of cool. You don't get to see that a lot of, you know, you'll get, you know, kind of the Twitter or Instagram message sometimes, you know, kind of the crafted ChatGPT message or whatever. But like a fully written, basically, column on, you know, his journey, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. And listen, I think Jim Mora was even talking about this in his press conference on Monday. Like he views the college football, their similarities in the NFL. This is like the draft, and I've always said the NFL draft is a crapshoot, even in the first round. Yeah. This is even more. So I don't get on it very often and plan to know, like, the names that you're putting out in your story. I'm not going to go, oh, this guy's good, this guy's good. But just the simple fact that I caught him on social media, clicked on him, a lot of stuff about him. And actually, UConn fans, a couple of them reached out once the news hit, just messaged me. And they were like, we were really freaking, they're really depressed now.
Right, yeah.
But we were really excited about this guy and what he could possibly do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that seems to be the vibe. I believe he has a younger brother who's a really good receiver. So let's keep an eye on that one. I think he's a junior. Let's keep an eye on that one down the road, too. But yeah, it's fascinating. And yeah, we don't know. You know, I love all fans on social media. It's fun interaction. But I also always chuckle on signing day. Oh, this guy's great. This guy's great. This guy's great. It's because you watch their two-minute highlight film, like you kind of hinted at. Obviously, every highlight film looks good. That's the whole point
negative.
Of them. You know, they've so far signed, I think, 25, 24, 25. Not all of them are going to be stars at CSU. But it's an exciting day, especially with a new coaching staff and everything. I can fully get and appreciate why CSU fans are allowing themselves some excitement because they haven't had a lot.
Well, it's very early, obviously, but and a lot of times I ask this question, and it's like, no, he's not gonna have a chance to play, you know, that freshman year. But is Carter Emanuel a guy?
I think
that you
we don't know, okay. Not because of anything to do with Carter Emanuel or Darnell Kelly, who kind of ironically he was the first commit in the CSU class, and he stayed, quarterback from Georgia, who also looks supremely talented. I think we don't know. You know, we haven't been around Mora and his system, his plans to know if, you know, he's a guy that would play a freshman quarterback. So, and obviously, we don't know what they're going to get in the transfer portal. I feel very certain they will add a transfer quarterback, if not more than one. But I don't think we can say yes or no to anything right now. You know, maybe in previous situations, I'd say, well, no, a quarterback's not going to play as a freshman. But I don't know that anymore.
Kevin, I said 5 minutes before we got the announcement that Jim Mora was going to be the head coach, I said, I want a guy his face isn't buried in a playbook.
Yep.
And I want a guy that really buys into the idea of a mobile quarterback. And boom, there you go. I mean, we got it done.
Yeah, it seems like it with the sign here. It seems, again, not that CSU is necessarily going to be a running option or anything, but it does have the look that they're going to be willing to have some of that running, you know, capability at quarterback.
I want to get it. We got Rams Weekly coming up at 2, so we can dive into more of these names. How many times do you think we can work that in? It's funny when we do it, Mike. You do it all the time, and it loses its venom. How many times do you think we can do that throughout the course of the year?
The year?
Yeah.
Oh, 9 trillion billion.
Can we like have a Super Troopers meow thing in your articles where there is at least one hidden Mora in there?
I'll see if I can work that in.
Got to work it in somehow. It was a great press conference on Monday, but they usually are.
I would say
they usually are.
I would say even Steve Addazio had pretty good opening press conference. Not
the
as
Rams
good,
meeting
but
and joining
yeah, the Ram clash that was.
I did like, you know what I liked about it, Kevin, was he wasn't right about everything when he was talking. Because he said, you know, he kept saying, I'm crediting Amy Parsons for the stadium. He did mention Boulder a little bit, and I know some fans are like, but I like that because it was a raw kind of thing.
Genuine. I mean, Amy Parsons was involved because I believe she was on CSU legal counsel at the time, and obviously there's a lot of legality in the stadium there. But, you know, she wasn't the president when it was built. So that was kind of just funny, honestly. Mentioning Boulder, like, why hide it? We all know
there.
He worked or
for
yeah,
several
lived there.
Years, yeah.
We know his family has ties there. No, I didn't know what was it, one of his kids and maybe a son-in-law or something. Someone went there. So what? Like that's a very, I mean, honestly, any state, but it's a very Colorado thing to have family that has ties in both. Why hide it? I mean, one of the things he talked about is how much he loves the outdoors and the Colorado-ness of Colorado. And obviously Boulder is one of those great places for that. There's no sense in hiding or pretending like, oh, I've always hated that place.
Right.
Those 6 years of my childhood were the worst I've ever had.
Yeah,
like that would feel very disingenuous.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Yeah, obviously you don't want the guy, you know, running a CU flagpole outside his house, but he has a very, you know, legitimate family tie there. Why hide that?
I kind of want a coach. Like, it takes time to develop and like develop a rivalry in your brain when you come to a new place. I don't want it to just be instant.
Hey,
oh, that's my rivals. I'm going
to
talk
to real. He doesn't have to worry about that for a while because what is it, 28, 29
yeah.
that they play again? So it's a few years down the road. So
we all know who's winning that game.
It'd be one thing. It would maybe. God, Brady. It would maybe be different if the September 5 was CU, not Wyoming, but it's chill. It's cool.
Yeah, it's fine. 48 minutes after the hour. What do we learn coming up next? We learn a lot from Kevin. I'm glad you do this, man, because I couldn't do this. This is great work by you.
What
and
I
it,
do.
We, all this work on the signees and stuff. I mean, I just – that's a lot of work for my brain.
Sign day is always a weird one.
It's always a weird one. Yep. We'll talk about more of that. Jim Mora. Also, yes, the Rocky Mountain Showdown basketball edition.
Oops,
we're still calling it the Rocky Mountain Showdown every time they play, right?
Sure. Yeah.
That's coming up this weekend. And again, we all know what's going to happen in that game, if it's even worth talking about it. Coming up next, all that and more. It's the whole show. What do we learn? Coming up next.
We're gift-wrapping the best sports broadcasts in the States. Hear Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and high school sports on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Well, on Thursdays, we turn to a friend and ask what he's learned. And that friend on Thursdays is Kevin Lytle. Kevin, what did you learn today? Did you learn anything new today?
I really didn't, no.
Micah?
Well, college football playoffs are a mess, and it's up to me to fix them.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to fix them, let's go.
He's going to come out with a 14-point plan, and then we're going to evaluate that.
1,000 points, Blight.
What?
That's my politician speak.
I thought that was a Star Trek reference again, but fortunately, no. We got Rams Weekly coming up. Kevin going to be with us for the entire 2 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. We'll break into the Jim Mora signing and signing day. And also, there's a Rocky Mountain Showdown this weekend. Colorado State and Colorado going at it. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.